Ready to lose 40 plus pounds without giving up happy hours, weekend brunches, or date nights? Then it's time to uncover the hidden link between binge eating and toxic relationships and finally break free from both. Welcome to the Hungry for Love podcast with Jillian Scott. Y'all ready? Let's go. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So today I want to talk a little bit about decision making. And I have a podcast about decision making, actually, that I did, a couple years ago. I think it was in 2022. Looks like episode number 46 is How to Make Better Decisions from May of 22. So if you want to learn more about my process for making decisions and how I've come to make my own decisions and what this looks like, go check out that podcast, because decision making was one of the things that I really struggled with for, I would say, quite a while. And for me, a lot of it has been a trauma response. I think for a lot of my clients, they have experienced similar things where they feel like they've made a wrong decision, a decision that they can't take back, a decision that is no longer good or acceptable in some way, a decision that they maybe they wanted to change and they couldn't, or they were scolded or chided or something for either not making the right decision, making the wrong one. I think we have this pressure, especially as perfectionists and recovering perfectionists, of I have to make the right decision. What's the right move, the right thing? And we can put so much pressure on ourselves to make these decisions, regardless in life, but just to always be making the right decision, to not make the wrong decision. Because if we make the wrong decision, that brings on negative emotions, and we don't want that. Brings on failure, which we also don't want that. And the failure brings on more negative emotions, a lot of times shame, judgment, self-loathing, right? And so we create so much pressure on ourselves to have to make this quote, like, right decision. And often it's like right now. And we have trauma from the past where we've not made the right decision. Or I see this come up a lot with food and what's the right diet? And I have to do the right thing so that way I can get these results that I want. Sometimes it comes up with dating and relationships. And especially if you've been divorced, it's like, I've got to be really careful. I've got to make sure I make the right decision with who I date or who I start talking to. Or if you've experienced maybe childhood trauma, you might be thinking, I don't want to traumatize my own kids. So we got to always make the right decisions for the kids. And while, yes, we do want to make decisions in the best interest of our kids, 100%. Again, it's like sometimes we just put so much pressure on ourselves to not be human, to not make mistakes. There's this pressure of I have to get it right, and I have to get it right on the first time. And over the last 2 years, I've opened up to this concept about making decisions from desire, not because I have to, not because I need to, but because I want to. And this is something that we are often told as women and outside of dysfunctional relationships or toxic relationships, that is not a good enough reason. You should not do that just because you want it. You should not do that just because that sounds fun or enjoyable or you would like it. You should only do that if it's a need, if it's a necessity, if it's like this. It's like we put certain parameters about what we are allowed to have. And it's really interesting because so often we are going to hold ourselves back from the things that we want in life on the big scheme of things, on a big scale. And then it becomes a matter of now I don't want to keep depriving myself with food. If I'm not giving myself what I want with my career, or I'm not giving myself what I want in terms of a relationship, I'm not giving myself what I want in these other areas, but at least I can give myself the food that I want at the end of the night. And so it's like that craving or that urge isn't just about the food. It's not just about the emotions in the moment. It's also, I don't want to have to keep depriving myself. I don't want to have to keep saying no. I want to give myself at least something that I want throughout the day. And this is where we need to have this bigger look and this higher look. So it's not just about, I want this food and I have this desire for the food, so I'm going to give it to myself. This is not a decision making around the food, because I think too often we are making decisions to eat food from a place of desire. So we're really good at that. We're really good at desiring food and giving ourselves what we want. We are not so good at recognizing and listening to what might be the small, subtle whispers. It might also be the big, loud voices of what we want or don't want in other parts of our life, and not giving that to ourselves. So if we take food and put that to the side, or we take alcohol and we put it to the side, and we just think about some other areas of our life, of where do you have desire? Where do you want to do something? You want to maybe take a trip. You want to change jobs. You want to get a new house, or you want to move states. You want to, maybe you want to stop dating, or you want to start dating. Maybe you want a divorce. What are the desires and the things that you want, but you have a hard time giving to yourself? And this is where I know for me, when it came to divorce, it was something where I felt like I needed to be justified, and I needed a very clear reason. There had to be some kind of validation there, instead of recognizing this is not what I want for my life. This is not what I want for me. This is not what I want for my son. And allowing that to be good enough. And really noting and noticing how often we want to dumb down and diminish our desire because we're told it's not good. We're told it's frivolous. It's unnecessary. You shouldn't want that. I have a client who has multiple degrees. She's very smart and she loves learning, and she has the resources where she's like, I've got this degree and I've got that degree. And she is making that from desire, not because she needs to, not because she has to, but because that's her desire. And she's allowing herself to say yes to it. And I love this concept. And this has been some of what I've been thinking about in my own life of how to make decisions from desire, because I want to, and because that is good enough. I don't need anyone else's permission. I don't need to get anybody else on board. I don't need to try to convince or over-explain, but really to get clear on what is it that I even want? Because so often, I don't even know that myself. I don't know. Sometimes I want this and I want that. I want two competing or opposite things at the same time. Of course, and that's okay. But so often it was like, I was this chameleon of, I want what you want. Or it would be like, who do you want me to be? I'll be her. It was a survival mechanism and it worked for a time. But I really have to take a step back and look at, okay, what is it that I actually want? Not just what makes sense to somebody else or what seems logical to somebody else, but what I want and what I know is going to be the best decision for me in these moments. And it's okay to prioritize different things at different times in our lives. The more that we can look at giving ourselves what we want in life, the less we need to give ourselves what we want with food, because we are allowing ourselves to have what we desire in a career, with a business, and maybe a romantic relationship or stepping away from one, with parenting, with hobbies. We're giving ourselves what we want. So we don't need that to come from food. We don't need to meet that need and that emotional desire with food. Makes it a lot easier to say no. When your life is so full and fun and vibrant and it fuels you and it fills you up, you don't need food to do that for you. You can enjoy your food. It can taste good, but it's no longer that primary source of your joy, pleasure, relaxation, or comfort. And that's something I'm going to be saying over and over again, because this is so important. It makes it so much easier to say no to food, to say no to the urge, to say no to the craving, to say no to the binge from a place of self-love, from a place of that future focus of, I know I'm going to feel so much better if I say no to this now. And we can do that when we are not constantly depriving ourselves of the things that we want. Because so often, if there are big changes, especially big changes that you want to make, but if there are any changes that you want to make, and you're not allowing yourself to have what you want, then it becomes a matter of, at least I can give myself the food that I want. At the very least, I can get the dinner that I want. At least I can get this dessert that I want. I can eat the ice cream that I want. At least I can give myself something, because I keep withholding and I keep depriving myself of the real, true, big, deep desires that I have in life. Valentine's Day was last week, and I bought myself flowers. And there was a guy that I went on a date with. I'll tell the story here in a sec, but I was thinking, like, he might get me flowers. That is possible. But I wasn't sure. And I didn't want to rely on him to meet this need and to meet this desire. So I decided I'm going to buy flowers for myself. Not because this man-hating, super independent, I don't need you, but more of, I really want to have flowers. I want to buy myself flowers. I was planning on doing, was planning this for weeks. So I'm not going to need somebody else. And if somebody else does want to buy me flowers, that's wonderful. I am open to receiving that, but I don't need it. And I'm going to look at giving myself the things that I want. Because if I, let's say I didn't buy myself the flowers and then nobody else bought me flowers, I would probably feel a little disappointed. And I'd be like, I wish I would have bought myself flowers. And at which point I could have gone out and bought myself flowers. But we just want to look at the little things. I don't often buy fresh flowers, but occasionally that's what I want. If there's a desire, are they going to die in 2 weeks? Yeah. I am terrible at keeping plants alive, so I don't even try anymore. Like, I'm just going to buy the flowers at the store. I know they're going to last 1 to 2 weeks, and that's it. And I'm going to give myself just a little bit of what I want. I don't have to buy a huge mansion. I don't have to buy myself a dream house. I don't have to buy myself like a, you know, $1,000 necklace. But I can still look at how to buy myself something special, something sentimental, something sweet, something that I like, something that I enjoy. One of the things that I really enjoy and one of my desires is to have a monthly massage. So that's one way where I give myself something that I want, something that I desire, something that feels really good. And I just allow myself to want that and make it and just enjoy it. I have different like self-massaging balls and pads and like different massaging tools and items and things. It's not the same. They're not bad, but it's not the same. I want to go and lay down on a table for 60 minutes and get this really amazing massage. That is a desire. Some people might see that as being frivolous. They might see it as unnecessary. They might see it as a waste of money. They might see it as you could spend $100 on a single massage, or you could spend $100 on this item or this tool and have massages for the rest of the year. I still want the human massage. This is where we have to validate for ourselves what it is that we want and what it is that we don't want. And as I was coaching this past week, dating and relationships has come up. And really, it's all a matter of desire of, do you want this? And it might be that you don't. Maybe you are post-divorce, or maybe you're going through a divorce and you don't want to date. You're not ready to date. That's okay. Like, you don't have to, right? It's like, I always want to make sure, though, that you like your reasons. Do you like your reasons for this? And this has been really helpful for me in understanding how I make decisions, because so often I think I will make decisions out of impatience of like, I want to hurry up and get there. I want to hurry up and be someplace that I'm not. So I'm going to like, and I see this with spending, especially in my business. It's I'm going to spend and overspend sometimes in order to get out of where I'm at now and to hurry up and get further along. And that's not always the right strategy. And so this is good for me just to recognize like some of these patterns and some of these habits. Again, what are the cycles so that you can break them? But we have to have so much love and compassion for ourselves in order to do that. We want to be able to recognize like the decisions that we make that we like, and we're like, yeah, that was a great decision. Like I joined this human design program. I absolutely love it. Y'all, I know I am late to the human design party. I totally get that. But I am loving this. It is so good. I love this decision. I got help from another coach to help me relaunch the podcast and to help me with my podcast strategy and things that I'm doing here. And I love that was such a, that's been such a helpful catalyst to get me pivoted and transitioned. And I took what I thought was going to take 3 months and I did it in less than one. Like it was amazing. So it's, I'm looking at what is it that I want and giving it to myself. I wanted to make this transition with a podcast. And I also recognize when I might want it, like last year I wanted it, but I also didn't have the bandwidth for it. I didn't feel like I had the bandwidth to take that on. And so I put a pin in it and I just got started in creating content and getting back into just regular podcasting. And that was just the first step. And then recognizing and realizing, yep, I'm ready. I'm ready for this shift. This year, I want to make this little pivot. And here's what it's going to look like. Give myself what I want. I did not want to have to produce my own intro and outro music. I found a guy on Fiverr to do that for me. right? That way I can put my time and energy into the things that I'm good at, into what I really love doing and I enjoy doing. I'm going to lean into that desire of what I want. I had a desire to be able to outsource that. I also see this, and this came up in my human design course yesterday. Actually, we were on a call and learning more about just the like who we are and how we work and how we function. And I think that for me has been, this is part of my self-awareness, self-discovery is how I'm using this to better understand me, to better understand my patterns, my cycles, the ones that I want to break and the ones that fuel me and light me up and help me like to thrive. And so I was noticing how, and I can't remember what the context was, but it was like permission. It was almost just like this permission to work in the way that works best for me. So I work best when I have 2 to 3 hours of uninterrupted time to work. At least one, if not more like two, like that 2 to 3 hour window feels really good for me. I can sit down, I can focus, I can get stuff done. There's not, the TV's not on. I don't have my son. I'm not also trying to entertain him or hoping that he stays doing a project or watching a movie or, you know, something like that. I don't want to work within the 5 minute pockets of my day. I don't like that. It feels really stressful and really hectic. I want larger chunks of time. And this is really good because it helps me to know, like, one, there's permission of just because other people can work in 5 to 10 minute pockets of their day doesn't mean that's how I want to. And that's okay. There's permission for this. And there are times when I get inspired and I'm going to create a reel or make a post or do something on stories and like that will come. But I'm also not forcing it. I'm not pressuring it. And I'm not trying to run my business in these small pockets of time. Because I don't like that. And I've had people and coaches and others tell, it's almost implied that I should be able to do that. It's why do you really need 2 hours? Why do you need 2 hours? Why are you making that a requirement? And I'm like, I don't know. That's just how I work best. part of me wishes I could, but it's leaning into that desire. And so now when I'm looking at my schedule and I'm making appointments or I'm scheduling coaching calls or I'm thinking about and blocking off time to podcast, to record, to create content, I'm thinking about that. And with that in mind, I'm not going to have calls and things to where I have 30 to 45 minute intervals of work time. I know I like larger amounts of work time. Like I want larger blocks. So whenever possible, I'm going to give myself those larger blocks of work time. So we're making decisions from desire, right? It has nothing to do with food, but it's looking at what do I like? How do I work best? How do I function best? And there may be times when I am going to try to get things done in a different way or a different fashion. There might be times when that's not fully possible. That's always going to be my focus and the priority is trying to create that and allow that to happen. If I have 2 to 3 blocks of time on my calendar each week that are all 2 to 3 hours long, that feels very spacious and very like I have time to get into the work, to get focused and to create like really what I want to be creating, create the results that I really want. It's okay. How do you work best? Can you give yourself what you want? I have another client who he tends to work better later at night. And so it's for him, he fights it sometimes. And I'm like, what if you just stopped fighting that? And we work backwards to get you to where you are going to bed by midnight instead of 2 or 3 a.m. We'll get you going to bed a little bit earlier. But if you do your best work or you tend to be more of a night owl and you don't need to show up for a job at 8 a.m., let's lean into that and allow that. Give yourself the work schedule that you want. Give yourself what you desire. I see this. So I think this can come up with relationships too. Of are you willing to give yourself like one is what do you want in a relationship? If you're dating, what do you want in a potential date? What do you want in a future spouse? And are you like, where can you give yourself what you want? Where can you give yourself and meet your own emotional needs? Where can you take yourself out on the dates that you would like to do with somebody else or maybe to go out with friends? And then maybe sometimes it is saying yes to a date just because it sounds fun, just because it sounds like you're curious. It sounds like a good time. And it's not that we have to say yes to every invitation, but to really think about it. Sometimes it's saying no. Like sometimes I've made plans and then I've gone back and I've been like, you know what? Actually, like, I'm a no for this right now. Like, I need to say no. Thank you so much for the invite. I'm sorry. And sometimes it's a late notice cancellation. I'm like, sorry, it's like Monday morning and we're supposed to meet up Monday night. And nope, this just isn't going to work for me right now. Like, I have to say no to this. And that was the desire. So we want to look at, where are you saying yes? Where are you saying no? And are you saying it where you want it to be? Or are you making decisions to try to please other people? And this is part of you developing your own decision-making process. It's part of what I think we all need to start to recognize is like, how do I make decisions for myself? One of the things that we talked about yesterday with human design was our inner authority. And really, that is like our decision-making. And some people are emotional deciders. Like they have these emotions and they know what the decision is. For some people, it's like a gut instinct. It's like a sacral authority. For me, I'm in a very small minority. I think it was like 1.7% of the population are self-projected. We have this internal self-authority where it's like there's an initial instinctual yes or no. And everything after that comes out after is going to be trying to either find the right way, the right answer, the right decision, or to please somebody else. Versus like really listening to what is it that I really want. And that's something that has often been smashed down in the past. So when we think about what is it that I want and how can I give myself this desire, sometimes we also need to be mindful of it's not just what I want in this moment, it's what I want long term. So when I was, so like making decisions from desire, if we keep that in the context, the last 2 weeks, Monday night rolls, you know, it's like Monday afternoon, and I really want a nap, but I also want to go to yoga. And I really love the Monday night yoga class. I've really enjoyed that. I've also decided I really like doing yoga on Thursday night or Friday morning, doing it at another time in the week, a little bit later in the week too. I like going twice a week. So I'm still figuring out, okay, what does this look like? But Monday night has become my like my non-negotiable yoga night. And it's great because I don't typically teach body pump. So it's been really good for that. And I also notice though, like in the moment, it's I want to go home and take a nap, or I want to stay, or this past Monday, I was snuggling with my little one. We were out in the morning and got home in the afternoon, and we're just kind of like laying in bed and put on a movie, and we're just snuggling and napping and whatnot, and it not really falling asleep, but just like relaxing. And so it's like in the moment, I just wanted to stay there. I wanted to stay super cozy in my bed. But I also have a desire for this class, and I know how good I feel afterwards. I know how good I feel when I'm done. I know how good I feel and how good I've felt regularly when I am doing yoga and I'm stretching and I'm moving in this way once a week. I've also realized that yoga is bringing out a little bit more, like it's slowing me down in a good way. It's allowing me to tap into more of this like feminine energy that's a little more free-flowing. It's not so assertive and go and competitive and driven. And I feel like I'm a very ambitious person. I feel like I probably have more masculine energy than feminine. If there was like a ratio, I would say it's more masculine. But I think I've also dumbed down or diminished or pushed down some of the feminine desires. And even from as a kid, playing soccer, really loved it. And was very competitive in it. I was also like, I would also run and do like little races and stuff like that. And then would compete in track and cross country then in through middle school and high school. But I really, even as a kid, like I wanted to be a ballerina. I wanted to be a gymnast. I wanted to be very feminine. I had this desire that wanted to come out, and yet I didn't really get an opportunity to do that. And so I learned to just kind of stuff it down. And then doing cheerleading in middle school and high school was also interesting, especially being on a competitive cheer squad. Very, like, very high energy. And the competitive nature of it, not very, a little feminine, like it was girly, but it also felt very masculine from that standpoint. And so part of this is like really embracing like my feminine side. And what does that look like? What does that desire mean? Like, sometimes it's wearing a dress and heels. Sometimes it's even when I'm in my apartment, just doing coaching calls, putting on a dress, doing my hair and makeup, doing things like that. What do I desire? And we want to be thinking about this, but with the long-term perspective in mind, not just the short-term. That's how I got on this whole yoga tangent, was sometimes the yes and the desire of what I want is also the future and it's the focus. And here's how I want to feel, not just the here's the short-term quick pleasure I want in the moment. Because that's what also happens with food. Like a lot of times, we're not making decisions from desire. We're not allowing ourselves to have what we want, to be honest with ourselves about what we want, and to make those decisions, to learn how to meet our own needs. And then we're using food now as a substitute. Of like, at least I can get something that I want. I can't give myself this over here. I can't maybe move states or buy a new house or get a new job. For whatever reason, we put limitations on ourselves. So I can't have that, but at least I can have McDonald's. At least I can have this milkshake. At least I can have this ice cream. And so the way that we shift this and make it easier to say no to the food, the way we make it easier to say yes to the habits and the activities that we want to do on a regular basis, is we want to look at not just the short-term in the moment desire, but what's that long-term desire? I've had desires over the last, since January, I've been tracking my urges and desire for alcohol more, because I noticed in December, like, my drinking just went up with different activities and parties and events and things. And so as part of some of my trackers, I've been looking at, okay, where am I saying no, even if I have this desire to drink and to have a glass of wine or a cocktail or something like that. But I haven't planned it and I'm cutting back. So it's like, all right, I want to say no to this in the moment desire, because I know my long-term desire is not to be drinking 5 nights a week. It's to drink maybe 1 or 2. My long-term desire is to be sleeping well through the night. It's to feel really energized. It's to feel fit and trim and slender. So thinking about the desire of what it is that we want, ultimately, we can think about this with money and spending, right? Like, where are you withholding and holding back giving yourself what you want? Because you're like, well, I don't, like, that's too much. I don't want to spend that on myself. I couldn't possibly. And so you stay stuck instead of getting the help and support that you want to solve problems in your life. And on the flip side, maybe you're used to indulging in every whim and every desire of, oh, I want this and I want that. And so you're overspending instead of thinking about like the long-term financial future that you want to have. And I think we go through phases of both. Like, we can go swing from side to side. And the best place to be is like in that middle of like, how can I give myself what I want and be focused on my long-term financial future, but also my long-term emotional future and mental future? Are you investing in a therapist or a coach or a program or a group or a membership or something that's going to help get you where you want to go? Are you investing and spending time, money, and energy really solving your binge eating, healing from that toxic relationship? That's what it's all about. And there are going to be times when we have more time, and then it's other times when we have more money. And sometimes there's that trade-off. And this is where, like, you get to be in charge, though. And you get to decide what resources you're going to use. Because, like, we're all dealing with limited resources. We all have a finite amount to use at any given time. But how to lean into and give yourself more of what you want, to give yourself the things that you desire, not just food and alcohol related. That is the podcast for this week. This just came to me. I did not have much of an outline. There may be little bits that I want to share later, but this is something that I'm working on, is really to get clear on what is it that I want? What is it that I desire? And not trying to please other people with it, but just being really honest with myself about it. And then looking at, okay, how can I make decisions from this place of desire? And sometimes the desire is a yes, and sometimes the desire is a no. And it's recognizing that both are good enough. Like when I, like with this podcasting, for example, like this is a yes for 3 months and then it might be a no, and that's okay. Like these decisions are going to shift. It's not, I make this one desire and I, or make this one decision and I, it has to be this for all of time in perpetuity. But I think when we release the pressure of having to get it right, we release the pressure of it being this make or break, all or nothing, that's when we can really trust and lean into our intuition, lean into and listen for our true gut knowing. And as a little reminder here, clarity comes from taking action. We are going to know and we are going to learn the more that we step in different directions. And you might start going left and then you're like, you know what? All right, now I need to go. And then I'm going to go left again. And then I'm going to go right for a little bit. And it's, we're just going to keep stepping and making better decisions and getting better and better as we go. But we're going to learn from it because we're going to try something new. We're going to fail and we're going to succeed. And then we're going to decide what we're going to do differently next. And that's how we want to be evaluating and then making new decisions. That's the process I want to invite you to adopt. And if you would like some help to learn how to recognize the cycles and the patterns and how to give yourself more of what you want, to even figure out what do you want, not just what other people want for you, what you've been told you want, what you've been told you should want, but really what do you want and not making yourself wrong or bad for it. If you want some help breaking cycles, breaking patterns around people-pleasing and toxic relationships, and overeating and binge eating, this is what I help you do. So I would love to schedule a free consultation where we are just going to talk a little bit more about where you are now and where you want to be this time next year. And I'm going to help you see what's really standing in the way. I'm going to help you see and understand the cycles that are at play, typically underneath the surface, because we know what's, we know it's happening. We can maybe are seeing the binging. We can see the results and the aftermath of a relationship, but we don't always understand why. I'm going to help you understand why you got into it, why it started, how it started. That way you can break the cycle. And you're going to learn from it every single day. You're going to get 1% better every single day. And I'm going to teach you how to listen for that desire and how to say yes to it and how to step into it without feeling guilty, without feeling ashamed, without feeling like you're wrong or you're doing something bad. This is what it all comes down to. It's like really creating the life and body and relationship that you crave. So if you want some help with that, you can schedule a free call at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And you can find a day and time on my calendar that works for you. And we'll just explore, right? These are conversations. They are calls to help you understand what's going on because awareness is always the first step. It's the first step in healing. It's the first step in growth. All right, y'all. Have a fabulous week. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If this episode resonated with you, it's time to break free from destructive cycles around food, alcohol, and toxic relationships. Your next step? Book your free Break the Cycle call, where you'll finally see why your binge eating and relationship patterns are so deeply connected and how to break free from both for good. You'll walk away with fierce clarity and a game plan to step into a life full of fun, adventure, and self-love. Grab your spot now at www.bodyyoucrave.com/BTC. It's time to break the cycle. I'll show you how.